swishy, swishy, wishy, washy. It's the news, according to me. Good Wednesday morning. It is January 7th, 8:59 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, almost 9 o'clock. It's going to be 9 o'clock just here anytime. Eastern Standard Time. I am in the Central Standard Time zone, and I'm here in Florida, still in the panhandle of Florida, fairly close to Pensacola, just east of Pensacola, enjoying the weather down here. In fact, I haven't shaved for, almost a week, and I'm starting to grow a little fuzzy fuzz, beardy beard thing going on, and I'm kind of enjoying that part of it. I look like a beach bum now, which is what I aspire to be. However, I am not yet. I'm still just a podcast host. I have welcome aboard. It is Wednesday, January 7th. Like I said, 2026, seventh day of the new year. And what a year it has been. I have a by the way, for those of you who wonder, my cold is going away. It's getting better. I'm getting better. Let's just say that. Unfortunately, my wife, who thinks she has to be just like me now, is starting to come down with the same thing I had. So apparently I gave it to her. She's not feeling that well. Kind of got the whole congestion thing going on. And it's just a miserable feeling for a while. Achy, kind of, just a typical bad cold kind of stuff. It's just, not fun. And so she's trying to get some. The whole point of coming down here was to get her some time away, just to let her relax and kind of enjoy some recreational time, kind of disengage from everything for a little while. And she's definitely disengaging from her health, her well-being. So there goes the ice machine. It's every morning. It goes. There's dropping ice over there. We have a few things to talk about this morning. It's Wishy-Washy Wednesday, and we're going to talk about Wishy-Washy Waltz today. I just thought of that. This kind of blends together there. Newsom is also in the background. There's a governor apparently in Washington State that's under some scrutiny. Apparently, the governor of Columbus, governor of Ohio, is definitely coming down pretty hard on what's happening in Columbus and what has happened in Columbus. This fraud thing is unraveling. It's obviously something that's been happening all over the country, which the further the scope is. I mean, it's one thing for it to be going on in Minnesota, especially in the Minneapolis area. Of course, now you've got that kind of money flowing through the Somali population. That at least the mayor of the city, where billions of dollars are flowing through, he's got to know what's going on. He's either turning a blind eye, all of a sudden they got all this money, he's just kind of turning his head, knowing that it's coming from somewhere, he's just kind of ignoring it, not looking into it at all. Now, however, here's the problem. There was a news reporter several years ago who was going after this thing, actually was a government, a state investigator, kind of like an attorney general type individual, who was looking into some of these issues. And apparently, he looked into all kinds of things and still didn't know what was in my cup. I have a cup here with, so just so you know, I need to know what's in my cup. I have Big Train Chai, which I'm not sponsored by them, but I might as well be. I mentioned them. By the way, speaking of sponsors, not only to go down a rabbit trail, but there's a rabbit trail connected to this rabbit trail, and I'm on it. I have an opportunity to be an affiliate of Podbean. Podbean is one of my podcast hosts. That's one of the places I post my podcast, and I have two, and one is called Castos. The other one's called Podbean. Castos has been improving and increasing some of their features and doing some things. Now, Podbean's a bigger platform. I believe Joe Rogan actually uses Podbean, if I'm not mistaken. He might have started his own thing. I don't know if at some point you can get to the point where you can actually, you know, set up your own servers and do your own thing, and then you can still offset to all of the platforms that are out there that people listen on. I have this is an opportunity to become an affiliate of Podbean, and which means if I say something about it online, I would be giving you a code to type in. If you want to join Podbean or you want to be a paid member of Podbean, you would type in this code and you would get a free month of Podbean. And then I would also get a free month of use of service for everybody that signs up. So it's kind of an interesting, it's kind of a barter type situation. It's not the kind of thing where they would be controlling my content. They wouldn't be controlling, it's not like I'm monetized. Because I've mentioned that several times. I want to stay away from that. I just don't want to go to announce. It's a slippery slope. You started on that kind of thing. The next thing you know, you're getting advertisers and you're beholden to certain topics and seeing things a certain way. And you could lose your, you know, you get used to having that income and having that kind of influence on your show. And then you start, you know, kind of even unconsciously kind of censoring yourself to placate those individuals. And I don't want to go down that road. So just know that I'm contemplating that. I'm kind of thinking about that. Now, anyway, what's in my cup? I've got of course, coconut cream creamer in my chai this morning. It seems like it's hotter than it was. Now, I have in my backup cup, I still have Chick-fil-A sweet tea. That will probably be gone by the end of the day. Like I said, we bought several large cups of that to put in our refrigerator here in the motorhome. Yesterday we went to the, we had a great time yesterday. Went to the beach. There's a dog beach here near Pensacola. It's out on Santa Rosa Island out there. It's kind of a key out on the out in the area. And it's a very interesting area. There's like a state park out there. And in one particular area, there's a dog park. It is very small. The area that they have designated for dogs is extremely small. I don't know if they mean for it to be, but the area where the water is, my understanding is shoreline access is basically for pedestrians is not enforceable. In other words, they can't, if you're walking along if it's a lake that is entirely surrounded by, in other words, if the lake is within state property, if it's on a state park and the entire lake is surrounded by state property, the state has authority over that entire lake. For instance, Lake Michigan, when you're on the shore of Lake Michigan, you basically have, if you're walking on the shoreline, you could even drive a car. The problem is getting to the shoreline. You can walk your dog anywhere on the shoreline, or you can walk, you know, basically do anything on the shoreline. It's unenforceable because that's not state property. It begins a navigable water. It begins a whole different set of maritime law rules. And that's my understanding. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And I'm not a maritime law expert. But that's what I've been understanding. For those of you who are lawyers out there, you can make a comment. Well, you can call me. You can call me and let me know what you think about what I think or what I, maybe I'm totally wrong about that. 812-379-8778. So this access that you're able to get to on the beach with the dogs, once you get on the shoreline, the shore where the water is actually washing in, and there were people walking up and down the shoreline all over the place, both sides, well beyond the little 100 yards that they had set up for the for the dogs to play. And I just have to say, my puppy apparently really likes the water. He just runs right out into it. I had a little tossing toy. Somebody left a ball out there that wasn't ours. And he was kind of reluctant to play with it initially, and then he started playing with it. It was kind of had a weird texture to it. I don't think he liked it. The one tossing toy that was ours, I tossed it out there. It floats really well. He was going after that quite a bit. And I think he kind of, I think he might have ingested a little bit of water. And it's salt water, so it's different than fresh water. He's been on a beach, I think, with some fresh water. There was a lake. We went into a lake and he swam. When we went camping last summer, I guess it was. And he had a chance to go swimming. He swims really well. But he, of course, he's never been around waves and that kind of thing very much. But this is kind of a little different because the waves were coming in. And it was salt water and it was different. A lot of sand, a very sandy beach. He just had a blast. We were playing toss for a while. I put a very long lead on him because this is the other thing about most dog parks. You just let your dog go and they run and you can let them run for run free. That's one of the rules there was that you had to have your dog on a leash, and which at most dog parks you don't. It's just you're just in a park. That just means you're just in a park. Most parks will allow dogs if you just have them on a leash. So it's not really exactly what I would call a dog park. It's a dog accessible area. And so I put a really long, probably about a 20-foot lead on him, something like that, 25-foot, I think. And I pretty much just let the lead go, and I would let him run around. He would come back, and I would just make sure that I was always within reach of grabbing his lead, and unless I tossed the thing out in the water, of course. Water was a little bit chilly. It would have been. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't bad at all, really. But once you got used to it, it wasn't bad at all. And so I probably would have went out and gone swimming a little bit in the water if I had been dressed for it. I kind of had my regular, plus we were going to go get some lunch afterwards. We went to a place where it was a little hoity-toity, a little bit, it was all outside, and they allowed the dog. That's why we went there, and they allowed the dogs to sit there. Went out there with the dogs and went to this place to eat. Very good fresh fish, very good food, just extremely good, but it better be for the price. I mean, it was a rather pricey lunch. Let's just say it was about five times what it would have cost at Chick-fil-A. Let's just say that. It's about what it was. Yeah, maybe a little more. Maybe seven or eight times what it would have been at Chick-fil-A for the two of us to eat lunch there. But they brought out a bowl for the dogs, for water, and they were very very accommodating with the dogs, which was really important. It's just I like it when people are like that, and we like to. Plus, the sweet tea was really good. I had the grouper, fish and chips. I actually had grilled grouper for the fish, and it was a huge piece of grouper. It was a huge fish. Very well done, very well made. Of course, the chips, there was just too many chips. It was just kind of like waffle fries, but they were... Anyway, show's half over, and I haven't gotten started yet. Needless to say, the dogs are tired. You don't hear any whimpering or crying or barking or anything, anything in the background today. They're very tired. They had breakfast this morning. They're both sacked out, sleeping very well. So let's just say they got plenty of exercise. We came home, took about a 2 or 3 hour nap. Dogs slept very well through that. Had supper, went for a little bit of a walk. They slept through the night. Got up this morning, did their little thing, and then they had breakfast, and then they are passed out again. So yeah, today was going to be a little bit more of a hiking day, a little bit more just hanging around here. I got a few things I want to work on the camper, the RV, as they call it, short for recreational vehicle. Anyway, things are unraveling for the Minnesota situation. And I think one of the things I want to point out here is one of the things I said initially when this whole thing first started unraveling, and Nick Shirley was kind of going into this whole thing, is... You always need to want to look back. Critical thinking is not something that automatically kicks in for everybody, and it's due to the nature of the work I do. It is the main part of what I do all the time. All the what ifs and how things escalate, how things connect, how they're put together. It just kind of becomes a natural I think maybe it's been a kind of a natural part of who I am anyway. My dad was kind of the same way, I think. I've started several small businesses, and you always are looking at, you just kind of get trained with this idea of all the what ifs and everything that comes along with it. It kicks in at certain times. It's not always there. It's not in all situations in life, but in certain things you can, when it turns on, it's there and it works very well. And for me, with politics, it seems like it's one of those things where it kicks in for me. And one of the things I brought up, the first question that popped in my mind initially, right off the bat, was, who's teaching these people how to do this? Who's implementing this? Who's facilitating all of this? Because these people aren't just coming from Somalia knowing how to do this. This is being, they figured it out somewhere along the road, and someone has facilitated it and allowed it to happen. In many cases, some of these facilities were given very poor ratings in terms of their inspection. They had inspections. I brought this up initially, too. I was like, who's inspecting these places? Well, they did have inspections, and they had a lot of violations. Nobody ever did anything to them. Nobody ever, maybe they paid the fine or whatever they paid, but there was no correction on the issues. Now, my other issue was, what about when things were found out? And that was several years ago, this one investigator, they were going into this whole thing, and they were actually submitting, they were getting ready to start doing indictments, to start doing actual warranted investigations. And all of a sudden, everything was dropped. I mean, somebody higher up in the government knew about what was going on, and they were dropping it. They were forcing it to be dropped. Much like when Tim Walz, when he found out about some of these people who were reporting things, he basically, some of the whistleblowers that were coming out, he shut them down. And this idea of all of a sudden pivoting and saying, this is what it sounds like when they do this, and when they target for certain people, when they scapegoat, this is what it sounds like when they use the idea of white supremacy. So when they jump to those kinds of statements, and Tim Walz says this all the time, and he always kept bringing up this thing about Donald Trump is letting more people I'm putting people in jail. He's letting people out of jail. And then he starts talking about January 6th, and what does that have to do with what's going on in Minnesota? Well, he's trying to make it sound like Donald Trump is the crook here, because he's trying to pivot onto this idea that Donald Trump pardoned all these January 6th people who, in my opinion, served enough. They've served enough time. Even if you were guilty of doing something that day, you've served enough time. There are people who've done a whole lot more and served a whole lot less. And it's just, talk about, you know, with regard to fairness, okay, whatever. Maybe they were criminals, but they've served their time. They're done. They broke some people to the point where they were, now that they're saying, you know, it's just amazing the mental anguish that some of those people have gone through, and some of the things they've had happen to them in their lives. Now, that being aside, when he tries to pivot on some things like that, on something that everyone should agree on in terms of, you know, not wanting fraud, not wanting abuse of the system, and he's defending it. They're backing it up and then, of course, they come right back with, you're a racist, you're a racist. That's the standard playbook answer whenever you go into a situation where you're being accused of something, and you just throw it back out to somebody else. And that's what's been happening there. Well, if this is happening all over the country, now maybe there's some people spreading it around. More ice. There's some people spreading this around. Maybe they've learned it in Minneapolis. Maybe they've learned it there in Minnesota. And they've spread it around throughout the parts of the country. Or maybe it came from somewhere else because someone else learned how to game the system. It's been going on long before COVID, by the way, too. Some of these things have been happening long before that. The money really started flowing after COVID. And that's where it became very noticeable for some people who were paying attention. And of course, it was independent individuals and investigators who were looking into this that really tipped the scale. And then, of course, Nick Shirley's video was just the right time, right place. He just got aggressive with it, really got out there with a platform, and it just went viral from there because somebody saw it and just started, you know, transferring it to the right people, and then everybody was on top of it. And of course, Nick, I think Matt Walsh, or I'm sorry, Tim Walsh, because he was a high profile individual now, because he has been, you know, he was going to be the vice president. If they would have won, we would have never heard about any of this. None of this would ever have come to light. I guarantee you there would still be, there'd probably be this kind of fraud on a massive scale in other things. This is typical of despot leaders, of people who are dictatorial. Dictators don't approach their people and say, I'm going to be a dictator. They just see themselves as leaders. The system, the Democrat Party, is a collective group of dictatorship. It's a weird animal, because when they say I'm a democratic socialist, well, what they're saying is they're a democratically elected dictatorship. That's what they're looking for. Mamdani is an individual who is drunk with power right now. Loves being in the spotlight. Loves being the important one. He's either going to go insane, or he's going to, he's going to have a nervous breakdown or something. Or no, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. Like I said, I'm not a psychologist. All I can tell you is this guy is, in my opinion, because the way he operates, he's just bitten off more than he can chew with the way he functions in societal challenging situations. New York is going to be a very challenging situation. I don't think he's going to be able to handle it. He's hired some people working for him who are they're not just leftists. They are extreme communist individuals. And you know, when they're talking about having property rights in New York City be all community property, it should be communal property. In other words, the state should own it. And everybody should have access to it. This kind of thing never works correctly, never works right. When you look at the whole thing with the government bureaucracy of Minnesota, it's a fine example of that. Once fraud creeps in, they are able to maintain power and money and focus because of the money that gets splashed in their direction occasionally. You can't tell me that there weren't some very powerful, we'll call them lobbyists, just to be nice, in the background with all this money flowing through the coffers of Minneapolis. Some of that money didn't find its way to the campaigns of these individuals or somehow filter back into their pockets through shell organizations, businesses, whatever, security details, whatever it might be. All the non-government agencies, organizations that are out there who donate, PAC groups that donate to their campaigns. And of course, campaign funds are, there's a lot of weird rules to campaign funds, and most people don't realize what they are. But some of these weird rules involve funds that are accessible to the campaign, to the person who's running the campaign. In other words, if, Joe Schmo out there, he wants to start a campaign to run for governor of state, whatever. And he runs that campaign. And of course, that his campaign funding, people are donating money to the campaign so he can go out there and buy advertising and spread the word, travel around. His expenses while he's out there traveling around doing things. Those expenses can be deferred. In many situations, many states, depends on the rules. But they're able to access those funds after a certain amount of time. Now, if they retire, let's say somebody's in office, some congressman is in office, they have a campaign, people are donating to the campaign, they're running campaign ads and stuff, that kind of thing. They're looking for donations, people donate to the campaign. And then say 6 months into the campaign or before the election, they say, I'm bowing out, I'm going to retire, I'm not going to run again. Any funds that are left over, that those funds have to go somewhere. Now some people will donate to a charitable nation status company or a nonprofit of some sort. Many times they have their own nonprofit on the side. Sometimes they have a nonprofit that will somehow that they end up working for afterwards. There's all kinds of ways to get this kind of money channeled around and funneled around and kept within the control of certain individuals. And they do all this stuff, and people just don't think about it. They think, well, he's retired. And I'd be frustrated if I donated $100 to somebody's campaign, and all of a sudden they turn around and say, I'm not going to run. Oh, what just happened? Can I have my $100 back? In some cases, they do return it. Some of them are above board. They will do that. Now, having said all that, what is happening in Minnesota, in my opinion, this is going to a larger scale, because there were things that were being reported during the Biden administration. Now, keep in mind, Kamala Harris was buddy-buddy with Tim Walz. Who is Tim Walz? Now, she had Shapiro as a possibility. Oh, he was Jewish, couldn't accept him. Pete Buttigieg. Oh, he's gay, he can't accept him, because American people won't vote for a gay man. American people won't vote for a Jew. It's not the American people won't. It's that they were concerned that their own constituents basically would have gone after them for the Jewish part of it, because they would have lost the left radical wing of their party. Pete Buttigieg, in general, most people, including a lot of the, I would say, African-American community within the Democrat Party, they don't really care for that kind of thing either. They're not really big on that in terms of... So it's just one of those things where she blatantly says in her book why she didn't choose those people. And where does she come up with Tim Walz? Where does this guy come from? And so there's got to be connections here that go a little bit more beyond just somebody suggesting, oh, there's this guy over in Minnesota. Well, this whole thing apparently now is a nationwide scandal now, where there were a lot of different pools of people in the Somali population who were cookie cutter the same kind of operation. Now, there are also some others in some other segments of the population, some other demographics that are also doing the same thing. I'm not sure if they're just imitating, copying, whatever they're doing. There's a lot of this kind of fraud happening that I think needs to be uncovered, and I think the federal government's just getting started in terms of their ability to investigate this kind of thing. I believe that this thing went further up the food chain beyond Governor Walz. I think it went to the federal level. There were people in the federal government who knew what was going on. You can't look at anybody who's looking at this stuff knowing that all of a sudden autistic rates went up 300% in Minneapolis because they had an autism center there that funds for autism for autistic children went up. All of a sudden there was all these centers being opened up. Daycare, food programs, all kinds of things that just went up exponentially overnight. And it's just, all within 1 year of happening, it all expanded like crazy. It doesn't just happen, like that. It just, and nobody saw it. Nobody, even the people who did raise questions about it, were basically told to stand down, told that they were just kind of ostracized, shunned, just shut off completely. Interesting stuff, in my opinion, just interesting stuff. And it's on a federal level, I think that there was some of this going on as well. Whether or not they will be able to get into that or not, I don't know. Whether or not they'll be able to figure it out, I don't know. I think they will eventually. I think eventually some of this is going to come out. And of course, who's the one person they will blame for all this? They're already doing this already. They've already come out and started blaming some things. One of the things is they're blaming Donald Trump. Of course, it's all his fault, because he's the one who brought all this up. He's the one who's fed these conspiracy theories. Just ridiculous statements like that are what start to discredit them more and more. Everybody kind of sees what's going on. They realize what's going on, and then of course you have what's a little bit aggravating is that people will actually go along with it. Some of them will feed into that, and there's a certain segment of the population that won't, just won't open their eyes to what's happening, and it just go along with the whole idea that anything that Donald Trump says does anything that has his name tagged along to it in terms of, you know, if they just staple his name, well, it's Donald Trump's fault. And of course, as soon as they bring that up, oh, yeah, it's got to be his fault. He's the one to blame for all this. Just one thing after another like that, they will, there's a certain group of people that will just go that route. Or they'll just completely ignore it. They'll ignore the fact that he brings it up and says it's a problem, and then they say, well, you're just a racist, and then they ignore it the rest of the time. When it all unravels and they find out that, yes, it is a problem, and it's not racism, it's just there's fraud there, then they blame it on him. They just walk away from it. They're on to the next outrage that he says something about. Just like this whole thing with Venezuela. I haven't gotten into that a lot. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about Venezuela a lot more and kind of giving my wrap on what I think is going on there, how things have unfolded, some of the statements the president has made, and some things that are going to happen there. It's complicated, and I think there's a lot of things, of course, that he said that he communicates differently than most people do. He says things in a different way. When he does make a statement, sometimes there are some things that what he's saying is kind of in the middle of a conversation. He's kind of jumping in with, he expects you to know some general things that are out there, and when he makes a comment, that there's some assumptions made, and when he's making a comment, it's kind of a New York way of talking. I've worked with some people from that area. It does tend to be a different way of talking, different way of communicating and speaking. You're kind of expected to know certain things or understand certain things. He's not going to get into the minutiae of details. It's just a different way of communicating, and I think that's what confuses the news media. Is able to jump on that and just make kind of take advantage of it and exploit that a little bit. But anyway, the point is, they're unraveling like crazy all over the place. Now this whole thing with Kelly, Captain Kelly. He's being stripped of captain pay now because of his the issues that he's done. I think there's some things happening. My understanding of all that. And he was on Jon Stewart recently, and Jon Stewart actually realized right in front of himself that right as he's interviewing the guy, he's realizing the guy's full of it. He realizes that this guy's totally unhinged and off his rocker, and that he is guilty of what he did with the statement that he made with making that video. And he tried to reason with him, and he realized that this guy's not reasoning at all. He's just on this bent of going after Trump, and that's all there is to it. And he's so it's just kind of an interesting set of circumstances. That's just what I think. I want to know what you think about what I think. You can call 812-379-8778, leave a message, text message, or a voicemail message. I may play it, or I may not. I may just read it. Who knows what's going to happen with that. In the meantime, it is middle of the week, hump day here, and we're going to go into the rest of the week, tomorrow and Friday. Should have a show both days, and I'm filling you in on what's going on. In the meantime, I hope that you have a great rest of your day, rest of your week, and the weekend. I will speak to you tomorrow. In the meantime, God bless. See you.